The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. And then if you would pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, shed your light upon our word today. May it touch our hearts, minds, and souls. In your grace, amen. The very famous Gospel of John, the first chapter, where we hear about Jesus being the Word and also the light. The Word become flesh, the light of all people, the light that no darkness can overcome. And for the Israelites, that was something very, very important because they were living in what they considered a very deep darkness. They were in their own country, but they were not in control. The Romans, with their powerful army and their big government, had say in almost every aspect of their life. And then they had a king. They were able to keep their king, but because he was such a kind of paper king because of the rule of Rome, he comes kind of corrupt as well. He is rich, and he comes with all the trappings of the office, and he's going to do whatever he can to keep his office. Then there's the religious leaders. Now, they have a very, very tough job, too, because they're trying to keep the faith amongst this heathen group who has different gods, different faith. And in the history of the Israelite people, when they went into Canaan, they conquered those people and lived there. Those people also had an influence in their faith as they lived there. All of a sudden, that faith that they had started to try to influx into their faith, into the Jewish faith. And they found that as a be history. Wherever they were taken and put into another country, after a while, it just was a natural thing for these things to try to seep into their faith. And so they wanted to keep the faith. So they were constantly emphasizing the Word. And also at the same time as the religious leaders, they also had a say in trying to keep the peace with the Romans. So as far as the Israelites were concerned, they were in darkness. And of course, they had the promise of the Messiah. And that's what they wanted to see. They wanted this Messiah to come and save them from the Romans and take them back to where they were. But that's not what they got. They got this Word become flesh and this light in the darkness. They didn't get a king. They didn't get an army. They got somebody preaching God's love and grace. As Pastor said last week, sometimes we don't always live in the light. We sometimes live in the darkness. People at Christmas time sometimes have bad things happening to them. Their life is rough, or there's death, or whatever. Some people don't see the light at Christmas. But Jesus comes as that light. And I guess it was kind of ironic that as I'm preparing for this, on Christmas Eve, the storms roll in. And sometimes it's kind of hard for us to understand what it's like to be in the darkness with, as far as our life goes. But I thought that was a very, very perfect example of it. Because I don't know what part of the grid, I understand some people on that side of the creek didn't experience this, but we had a couple of outages and then about an hour worth of darkness with no power. And it was like 1 a.m. on Christmas morning. And you don't realize how much power darkness has over you until you're in the dark. And you start to realize what maybe these people are going through. Because, for example, that stool that you think is there in the dark, that you know has always been there, but you're trying to feel yourself around in the dark, and you think you're past it, and boom, you hit your ankle or your shin on it. And you realize that the things you thought were there maybe not are there anymore. Or perhaps you realize that all of a sudden there's absolutely no sound, and you have nothing to do. Because there's no TV, there's no radio, there's no sound, there's no nothing. And then you, as the darkness kind of sets in, as you realize it's not coming back on after those first few times where it popped back on, you start to realize how overcoming it becomes, how helpless you start to feel. And of course, the first thing you want to do is you want to get the light back in. You want to find the flashlight, or you want to grab that phone and turn it on and get that light back in. But then you have another fear. What if the batteries run out? What if they're not new batteries? What if my charge runs out? I can't plug it in. So darkness can be very overcoming to people. And that's the kind of light that Jesus became. I remember sitting, one of the favorite things that we did as a family is during the Christmas time, we would go in at night, turn off all the lights, and turn the Christmas tree on. We always had blinking lights on. And it was amazing how we would sit there. She'd put a record on, and it would be amazing how we would sit there and just see the lights on the roof and on the walls, and how the blinking lights sometimes would catch with the music and go with the beat or catch the words. And I remember how peaceful that was, even in that dark room. That's the kind of light that Jesus brings to us. But what does it have to do with us? Well, we could say that we live in the darkness somewhat with all that's going on in the world. And he comes every Christmas. But, you know, for all the darkness in the world that we have, the rumors of wars and killings and terrorism and all of that, we need the light too. This week is Epiphany, the wise men's turn to come to the manger, where they've been following a light in the dark sky to come to see the light of the world, the Word made flesh. They're from foreign countries, but they are also seen as one of the higher ups in society. Whereas the shepherds, on the other hand, saw the lights in the sky and were led to that light of the world, and they were the lowest in society. And yet when you look at the manger scene, even if they're all there or if there's just part of them there, it is the first Christian worship service in the world. Us worshiping the gift of the Word made flesh and the light that overcomes all darkness. We call him the very first Christmas gift, but he gives gifts to us. And one of them is that picture of that manger scene. Because just like the batteries, if we don't stay plugged in to that light and that Word made flesh, we can run out too. Also in our lives as Christians, the darkness may come. Do we have that light ready for when the darkness comes? He's provided us those gifts, this place. And just like that, those people from all across the world came to worship, we have worship also. It says twice in our second lesson, to the praise of his glory. Twice it says that in that lesson. And we know he's with us because in Revelations it talks about that word at the beginning and the word at the end. In Revelation 21 it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In Matthew 28 he even puts in the middle part when he's ascending into heaven. He says, lo, I am with you always. He's with us all the time. All we have to do is plug in. He gives us the worship service. He gives us baptism, where we share with the children. But we also share our baptismal promise of being with him at the end, through death, through his life, death, and resurrection. We have his Lord's Supper, where we gather together too, as the family gathered at that first manger scene, but also to there to receive whatever we have in our lives at that time, the light or the darkness, come and have forgiveness and then walk out in the light through his body and blood. He gives us Sunday school and Bible studies and times together to gather together and share the fellowship and share the word amongst ourselves and study that word so we learn from that word. It's also important that we remember he's the light that guides us. There's a story of World War II. The Lexington Carrier Group was churning into uncharted waters in the Pacific. And they see a light in front of them. The captain says, let's keep an eye on it. And sure enough, it's coming right at them. So he gets on the radio and says, light in the distance, ship, please, to avoid collision, please change your direction 15 degrees to the north. The radio comes back on and says, sir, I'm sorry, but you need to change your direction 15 degrees to the south. Carrier captain goes, okay. I'm sorry, sir, but you need to change 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision. After a few minutes, the voice comes back and says, no, sir, I suggest you change your course 15 degrees to the south. Well, now the captain's getting perturbed. It's getting closer. He's going, how dare he tell me what to do? And so he gets on the line and goes, sir, I am a captain of the carrier group, and I have two destroyers, two cruisers, and eight destroyers. I suggest you move 15 degrees to your north. Pause. Then the radio comes in and says, I'm sorry, sir, but I suggest you move 15 degrees to the north, for, sir, I am a lighthouse. Sometimes we need that guiding light, kind of like the Pharisees needed their guiding light. They were gotten so sense in the word and thought they had their way and they knew it all that they didn't have to worry about learning something new. And they did. Jesus came and taught them that that word has more meaning than what you're giving it. It has grace and love in it. The Greek word for our term word is logos. Logos is a Greek word that translates just briefly into word. But if you go into the translation further, it goes beyond that. It says it's principle, thought, speech, and word. In our lesson, it says we are the children of God. Do we live logos, or do we just hear the word? My wife made me a shirt. I was thinking about wearing it, but it's long sleeve and heavy cotton. So consequently, I didn't think it would be very comfortable today. But I don't know if you can see it. I'll hold it up and I'll tell you what it says on it. But it's the three wise men. And on it, it says, but wait, there's myrrh. Of course, the myrrh meaning more. See, that's the thing. We're the more. Soon the lights are going to go out. Trees are going to be put up. The poinsettias, as Jay said, are going to be gone. The Advent wreath's going to be gone. Where's the light going to come from? I told the kids in the Advent children's sermon that if you stand back in the dark and just the Christ candle is shining, if you're so far back in the dark, no one sees you. And no one sees but that light. But if you walk forward and you get into the light, two things happen. One, the light shines on your face and people can see you. And two, that light is now spilling onto you and you're reflecting that light. The more is us to live the Logos in principle, thought, speech, and word. It's up to us to be the lights out there when there's no more darkness. Or when there is darkness in the lives of people. They need somebody to stand there and be the flashlight. They need us. He needs us to be the light in the world for those that haven't seen the light yet or don't know it. And we need the light to be charged and ready to be more. I heard a song the other night. It says, maybe feel what heaven felt on that Christmas night. That's what the gifts are that he gave us, so that we can feel that Christmas night every single day in our life, not just on Christmas. That we can be the myrrh, we can be the more in the lives of ourselves and in others, and be the Logos. Amen.